Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, text number 23, we'll just read. This is a 16-page purport. It's probably, if not the longest, it's definitely one of the longest. Shri Prahlada Vacha. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno. Smaranam Padasevanam. Arjanam Vandanam Dasyam. Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. Iti Pumsarpitam Vishno Bhaktis Chan Navalakshana. Kriyate Bhagavat Yada. Tanmaye Manye Ditam Uttamam. Shri Prahlada Vacha. Prahlad Maharaj said, Shravanam, hearing, Kirtanam, chanting, Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu, and anyone else, not anyone else, Shravanam, remembering, Padasevanam, serving the feet, Archanam, offering worship, Vishad Desho Sho Pachara, Pachara. The 16 kinds of paraphernalia. Vandanam, offering prayers. Dasyam, becoming the servant. Sakyam, becoming the best friend. Atma Nivedanam, surrendering everything, whatever one has. Iti, thus, Pumsa, Arpita, offered by the devotee. Vishnu, unto Lord Vishnu, not anyone else. Bhakti, devotional service. Chat, Chet, if, Navalakshana, possessing, 9 different processes. Kriyata, one should perform. Bhagavati, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ada, directly or completely. Tat, that. Manye, I consider aditam, learning, uttamam, topmost. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prahlada Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming His servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto Him, or in other words, serving Him with the body, mind, and words, these 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person who has acquired complete knowledge. Purport. When Prahlada Maharaj was asked by his father to say something from whatever he had learned, he considered that what he had learned from his spiritual master was the best of all teachings, whereas what he had learned about diplomacy from his material teachers, Shanda and Amarka, was useless. Bhakti Paresh Anubhavo Viraktya Anyatra Cha Bhagavatam 11.2.42. This is the symptom of pure devotional service. Pure devotees interested only in devotional service, not in material affairs. To execute devotional service, one should always engage in hearing, chanting about Krishna or Vishnu. The process of temple worship is called archana. How to perform archana will be explained herein. One should have complete faith in the words of Krishna, who says that he is the great wish, well-wishing friend of everyone. Suridam Sarabhutanam. The devotee considers Krishna his only friend. This is called Sakyam. Pumsarpita Vishnu. The word Pumsa means by all living entities. There are no distinctions, permitting only a man or only a Brahmin to offer devotional service to the Lord. Everyone can do so, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:32. Striyo Vaishas Tata Sudras Tepi Yanti Puram Gatim. Although women, Vaishas, and Shudras are considered less intelligent, they also can become devotees and return home back to Godhead. After performing sacrifices, sometimes a person engaged in fruitive activity customarily offers the results to Vishnu. But here it is said, Bhagavat Yadda. One must directly offer everything to Vishnu. This is called sannyas, not merely nyasa. A tridandi sannyasis carry three dandas signifying kaya, mana, vakya, body, mind, and words. All of these three should be offered to Vishnu. Then one can begin devotional service. Fruitive workers first perform some pious activities and then formally or officially offer the results to Vishnu. The real devotee, however, first offers his surrender to Krishna with his body, mind and words, and then uses his body, mind and words for the service of Krishna as Krishna desires. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the following explanation in his Tatya. The word Shravana refers to giving oral reception to the holy name and descriptions of the Lord's form, qualities, entourage, and pastimes as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and similar authorized scriptures. After orally receiving such messages, one should memorize these vibrations and repeat them, kirtanam. Smaranam means trying to understand more and more about the Supreme Lord, and padasevanam means engaging oneself in serving the lotus feet of the Lord according to time, place, and circumstances. Archana means worshiping Lord Vishnu as one desires in the temple, and vandana means offering respectful obeisances. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Vandana means namaskuru. Offering obeisances or offering prayers. Thinking oneself to be nitya Krishna das. Everlasting a servant of Krishna. It's called dasyam. And sakya means being a well-wisher of Krishna. Krishna wants everyone to surrender unto him because everyone is constitutionally his servant. Therefore, as a sincere friend of Krishna, one should preach this philosophy, requesting everyone to surrender unto Krishna. Atma Nivedana means offering Krishna everything, including one's body, mind, intelligence, and whatever one may possess. One's sincere endeavor to perform these nine processes of devotional service is technically called bhakti. The word ada means directly. One should not be like the karmis, perform pious activities, and then formally offer results to Krishna. That is karma kanda. One should not aspire for the results of his pious activities, but should dedicate oneself fully and then act piously. In other words, one should act for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu, not for the satisfaction of his own senses. That is the meaning of the word ada, directly. Anya bilasita shunyam jnana karma davritam. Anukulena Krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably, without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. One should simply satisfy Krishna without being influenced by fruitive activity, fruitive knowledge, or fruitive activity. The Gopal Tapani Upanishad says that the word bhakti means engagement in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not of anyone else. This Upanishad describes that bhakti is the offspring of devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To perform devotional service, one should be relieved of the bodily conception of life and aspirations to be happy through elevation to the higher planetary systems. In other words, work performed simply for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord without any desire for material benefit is called bhakti. Bhakti is also called nishkama, or freedom from the results of fruitive activity. Bhakti and nishkama are on the same platform, although devotional service and fruitive activity appear almost the same. The nine different processes enunciated by Prahlad Maharaj, who learned them from Narada Muni, may not all be required for the execution of devotional service. If a devotee performs only one of these nine without deviation, he can obtain the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes it is found that when one performs one of the processes, other processes are mixed with it. That is not improper for a devotee. But when a devotee executes any one of the nine processes, Navalakshana, that this is sufficient. The other eight processes are included. Now let us discuss these nine different processes. Well, that was three pages. We have another 13 to go. Shravanam Shri Parada Vacha, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Padanam Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Shravanam Smarnam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, quality, and pastimes, paraphernalia and pastimes of the Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord as one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him, in other words, serving him with body, mind, and words, these nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Here Prahlad Maharaj is talking about nine processes of devotional service. We also have 64 items in Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī's principles of devotional service. We have four different divisions of Madhyama Adhikari in Rupa Goswami's understanding of what is the process of coming to the platform of pure devotional service. We have three different divisions in his six loving exchanges, and we have three different levels of devotees, Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama. So how does it all fit together? So that's what assimilation of knowledge is meant for. Then obviously they're not separate things. I like the nine processes, but I don't like Rupa Goswami's six loving exchanges. I like the six loving exchanges, but I don't like the 64 items that he gives. Now they all have to be assimilated, and then we can understand what actually is what we're doing. So for instance, we have Ishvare Tad Adineshu Balise Sudvisatsucha Prema Maitri Kripopeka Yat Kuroti Samadhyamaha. That Ishvara Prem. So how does that fit into Rupa Goswami's, that where he says that one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name? Krishneti Yasya giritam mana sadriyeta dikshasti chat pranitibis chabajantam isham shushu shaya chabajanam ananya anya indati sunya ridiyam upsita sangalabdhya. So obviously, the first thing is Ishvara Prem, but that comes last. Another, not last, but that always comes first. Unless we love Krishna, then there is no question of loving anyone else. If you dislike the source, For instance, if you have fire, which gives us heat and light, and you don't like heat or you don't like the fire, then obviously you're not going to like heat and or light either. If you're always avoiding fire, you're also going to avoid heat and light. Every time you go into a room, it's warm, you run out because it reminds you of the fire. And obviously there's going to be some problem in your relationship with the fire. So everything begins with Ishvara Prem, but we also have, for the devotees, Maitri. So Krishna is the original speaker, but his representatives are non-different from him. So this is part of this. Anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karmadat arvitam anukulena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttama. So this anushilanam and anukulanam. Anushilanam means that one should follow Krishna's instructions. Anukulanam, let's see, the last one is that all the paraphernalia. Anyabhilasita shunyam jnana karmita dadavritam. Anukulyena krishna anu shilanam. So, following Krishna also means to follow Krishna's representatives, because Krishna's representatives are non-different from him. Krishna's name, his form, his qualities, pastimes, in other words, are all identical with him. So part of Krishna's paraphernalia is his pure devotees and his expansions. So these all have to be concluded. But the representatives of Krishna have to say the same thing as Krishna. So that's anushilana, that they say the same thing as Krishna. So by following them, one is actually following Krishna. So therefore, we associate with the devotees, but we associate with them by following the instructions of Krishna. And the devotees, the topmost devotee, he lives. He lives in Krishna, and therefore he knows exactly what Krishna wants. And his example, his teachings serve to inspire and illuminate the devotee. So we can hear the teachings of the Acharya again and again and again. And as much as we try to assimilate the knowledge and follow it, then the knowledge is revealed to us. But the knowledge is not something different from what the knowledge was that we're hearing. In other words, we actually understand what's being said. We experience what's being said. We realize what's being said. Or as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Nanyan gunebhyas kartaram drashte vinupashyati gunebhyas chapram veti madhvavam sodigachyati. When you can see means not only with your eyes, we also see with our other senses too, when we experience, when we realize. But seeing also means that the intelligence is involved, because seeing is a product of intelligence. As much as we have intelligence, we actually see things properly. So we can see that there's nothing beyond the three modes of material nature and all activities, and that the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all these modes, then you can know my spiritual nature. So when we can actually see everything and everything in relation to Krishna, because we're utilizing everything and everyone, or engage in a relation with everything and everyone, according to how Krishna wants us, is his instrument, then we can actually see that there's nothing but Krishna. That even the people that we thought were, obviously, whatever we thought about them, they're also representatives of Krishna in some way. And it's all by hearing about Krishna through his pure, and hearing from his pure devotees, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Shastra is Krishna. Guru and Sadhu are also representatives of Krishna. Two different. Now, this is a general statement, and therefore we should differentiate between hearing from the Acharya and hearing from those who are trying to understand the Acharya. Therefore, Acharyamam Vijaniyam Navamanyata Karhichit Namartya Buddha Sudyeta Sarva Deva Mayo Guru. That one should know the Acharya is my very self. Now, the Acharya in the Vedic culture, as probably writes in the purport, could have been the Gurukul teacher. But in our line, well, even the Gurukul teacher, he represents like the father educating the child. So he's also a representative of Krishna. But then there's a division. The Acharya can also be, and is mainly what we consider Acharya, as the actual representative of Krishna. And in our writings of our Acharyas, they're either compared to a expansion of Lord Nityananda or personal associate of Srimati Radharani, not simply a Gurukul teacher. So when we refer to Acharya, we don't refer to the Gurukul teacher so much. They're Acharya, they set by example for the student, but when we refer to Acharya, the transcendental Acharya, we actually refer to those who are on the level of either a personal associate of Srimati Radharani or as an expansion of Lord Nityananda. Or, Lord Nityananda being the original spiritual master. Now, how do we understand that? Because we accept initiation in ISKCON. Who are we associating with? Who do you accept initiation from? Are you accepting it from the Gurukul teacher, the Acharya in that sense, or are you accepting it from the Acharya who is actually a personal associate of Srimati Radharani or an expansion of Lord Nityananda? So actually, we accept vows in ISKCON. The vow is not so much who we're accepting it to, although that's also important because they're supposed to be representative. But our vow is to become a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, to give up our false ego, and follow the instructions of Krishna in disciplic succession. So the instructions, we're making a vow to situate ourselves as a servant of this devotee who's a servant of the servant of the servants of Krishna, and we vow to follow the instructions coming in disciplic succession. So the role of the Diksha Guru is also has within it Shiksha Guru. So then it says, I always get the first word wrong, that one should know Krishna as one should know Shiksha Guru ke ta Krishna Swarup Antaryama Bhakti Shvesta Eduri Rup. So one should know that Krishna is manifested as the Shiksha Guru. That Krishna Resarup, that Antaryami Bhakti Shvesta Eduri Rup. I think I got a couple of words wrong there. Do you have that verse up there? That what's the first word? Shiksha Guru Ta Ejani Swarup, Krishna Swarup, Antaryami Bhakti Shvesta Eduri Rup. So Prabhupada writes that there are two kinds of Shiksha Gurus. Now, one of them is situated in transcendence and he sees everything objectively. In other words, his vision and Krishna's vision are the same. So he can't make a mistake from the spiritual point of view. Now, what we consider a mistake, like forgetting a verse, how can a spiritual master forget a verse if he's actually transcendental? One day, one devotee was giving a class, and another person walked in, a visitor, and he looked at the devotee who was giving the class, and he said, "I heard this man was perfect, but he has glasses on. How could he be perfect?" And he left. Because he figured, they're cheating me. He told me there is perfect, but he has glasses. Look at that, he has glasses. So that's not the perfection. Perfection is, as Prabhupada said, is how the devotee is preaching the Sankirtan movement. How much potency is actually being invested with, not only by his words, but by his activities, by the, as it says, he's actually situated in transcendence. So that's perfection. Now what he does from the worldly point of view may not be perfect. He may forget a verse. He may even fall asleep sometimes. But that's not imperfection, because everything he does is purely out of bhakti. And he never forgets Krishna, even for a moment. Now, there are others who are not on that platform. They see things objectively. But they may see things more clearly than we do. And therefore, we can take help from them. Matter of fact, we have no choice, because we're supposed to become the servant of Krishna's servants. So we have to serve everyone appropriately. And if someone has higher knowledge than me, I have to take their instructions, their realization. If I reject it, oh, you're not on the same level as the acharya. I reject your instructions. They're useless. It's like if you want to learn some sport, you want to learn golf. So you get out there with a club and you have a little ball and you hit the ball. And it smashes some car's windshield. And you realize that I need a little improvement. So who do you go to? You go to someone who's a little bit better than you are. Even your friend, if he knows, how to hit the ball, you go to him because he knows more than you do. You don't wait for the Messiah to come, the golf Messiah. I'm waiting for the golf Messiah. I'll keep on hitting the ball until the golf Messiah comes. But I don't take instructions from anyone who's not perfect. Unless he can hit a hole in one every time he hits the ball, I don't take instruction from him. You may come to that conclusion, and you're going to go absolutely nowhere in learning how to play golf. You have to take instruction from anyone who knows more than you do. And if you don't accept that philosophy, then you're not going to make any improvement. Because someone who's better than you, anyhow, you have to find someone at least who's better than you and take instruction from them and take example of how they're doing it. Then you can make some progress. Same thing if someone has followed the process and everyone makes advancement by following the acharya. We may not give credit to the acharya, but actually it's the acharya who is instructing everyone. And ultimately it's Krishna who is instructing everyone. He's the antaryami. He's the representative of Krishna in our heart. And anything that's true, anything that's valid, he's the source of that. And therefore, any advancement we make towards Krishna means that we made advancement by seeing the example or instructions of someone who is more advanced than we are, following the instructions of ultimately Krishna and the acharya to some degree. Of course, one has to have some discrimination and see what is the goal, what we're trying to achieve, and be able to take the essence of everyone's instructions and activities appropriately to help us advance in Krishna consciousness. And what is that? The acharya? What does Krishna keep on saying? He's absorbed in unalloyed devotional service to Krishna, undeviated, uninterrupted, unalloyed service, loving service to Krishna. So that's the goal. And we have to take that from everyone, everything, as an example and an instruction to achieve that goal, not other things. Therefore, Krishneti yasya giritam manasedriyeta. Dikshasi chat pranitibis chavajantam isham shushushaya chavajanam Anani anyas dindati sunaridhyam ipsita sangalabhya shushu shaya. So su means nice. Shushu means with the attitude of hearing, but with the attitude of following. So one who's heard from the acharya nicely, with an open mind, with the attitude of following, and is actually always following with love and devotion, with appreciation for everyone and everything in relation to Krishna, they become the example, the instructor for everyone how to come to that platform, because that's our goal, to come to that platform. And those they instruct who take it up, at least practicing, then we cooperate with them. We serve them also, but under the guidance of the acharya. We don't give up the acharya's teachings. When we don't understand them, we try to cooperatively try to get together and try to understand them to the best of our ability and put them into practice in cooperation with each other to serve the mission of the acharya. Then one will become capable of helping the innocent people, those who are below them, whoever that might be. And if one is engaged in serving the Acharya through hearing from him, and hearing means not only hearing for the ears, but also seeing the example. So, Shravanam, Kirtanam. Kirtanam is also another stage of hearing. They're not separate from each other. The whole world is actually vibration. And when we hear something, we put it into practice. That's also hearing, is included in there. But hearing with our body. And when our mind can hear, and our intelligence understands, then our mind becomes absorbed in that what we've heard, and then we can follow with our body too. So Shravana, Kirtanam follows from Shravana. Good Shravana manifests itself as Kirtanam, and when Kirtanam is unalloyed, uninterrupted, it becomes Shravana. So they're all connected. The only thing is that in that verse, that what's missing, we have the Acharya, we have those who are following the Acharya, we have the innocent who are trying to help them understand the Acharya, and then we have the atheists, those who are against Krishna. They're not even included, because for the devotee, they're just living in an imagination. There's nothing they can do with them. Therefore, they have nothing to do with them. It's called upeksha. For a devotee, he avoids the atheists as much as possible. Tries not to have any dealings with them. Or when he does to try to resolve their atheistic philosophy. Or as Prabhupada said, if you light a match in a dark room, the darkness can't put the match out. So very simply, our philosophy is we're eternal, which is empirically provable by the fact that our body is changing, but we're not. And Krishna is God, which is provable by the fact that we're not controlling anything. But someone is. Otherwise, how can we be an illusion if someone wasn't controlling our illumination or our illusion? So there are indisputable facts for a devotee. For the non-devotee who doesn't agree with them, then there's no sense of wasting time. If you light a match in a dark room and everyone keeps on claiming the dark room's still dark, it means that they're blind. There's nothing you can do to help them. Not waste time. So that's a little bit introduction. Now, to the nine processes in relationship to some of what we have to also go over the five powerful processes and see how they're related to the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Rupa Goswamis, and whatever. They're all related. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Since we'll probably be on this for the next 3 weeks. Or at least next week. Yes.
Maharaj, you mentioned that, maybe I didn't hear properly, but you mentioned that there are four divisions of progressing to Madhyama.
Well, there are four divisions of Madhyama.
Of
not progressing.
Of Madhyama.
There's Ishvara, there's...
Four behaviors of a Madhyama. Behavior. Four divisions of behavior.
Yes.
In that verse you have quoted, it also says, Nindadi Shunya Hridam, that one's heart should be free from, how does Prabhupada put it? Free from desire.
Nindadi Shunya Hridam, tendency to criticize.
Tendency to criticize, yeah. And it also says Adi and other things. So, besides tendency to criticize, what other things are there, and do we need to practice this? I mean, aspire for purifying our heart from this tendency.
Yeah, well, we practice that. Therefore, we try to seek out what we agree with. Generally speaking, the whole world is just full of criticism, especially in Kali Yuga. Everything we look at, we criticize, that you're not up to my standard. So appreciation is the opposite of criticism. So when we can appreciate each other, especially when we have a common mission, we have a common goal, and we work towards that common goal, and by doing that, we actually feel transcendental happiness and transcendental appreciation and illumination. we can see not only the diversity, but the oneness in that diversity. How everyone's interest is the same. And when we don't see the oneness in the diversity, then we'll become critical, generally speaking. So, ananya anya, more than that, devoid of the tendency to criticize, plus appreciation for others, love, you know, etc., etc. But the first thing we have to give up is this tendency to criticize others, and the only way of doing that is to work in cooperation for this common mission. Otherwise, unless we can see the unity in diversity, then we'll simply be critical. Critical is all right, in the sense that we have to differentiate, but we should also see the oneness. We're not trying to give up our faculty for criticizing or for critical understanding, but without the oneness, then it simply becomes enviousness. And when there's unity and diversity, then it becomes appreciation and harmony, which is what the Madhyama Adhikari practices. The Uttama sees in everything the oneness and diversity, and the Madhyama Adhikari is practicing that, how to see it by cooperating with each other. For the common purpose, we have to establish from the Acharya what the purpose is, then we can cooperate under it. Yes.
I really liked this example you gave about the match. Did I understand correctly that, let me make sure that I got the full analogy, that we avoid lying demons.
Asuras. We don't say demons anymore because...
I mean, people who deny...
Asuras, my lives matter too.
Denying the obvious, meaning that there is light coming from the match, right? So
yeah.
So therefore, if they deny the obvious, then there's no use trying to convince such.
There's no sense arguing with them. We'll simply get angry and frustrated, trying to do the impossible.
So the obvious, our lighting the match is. Did you give some example of...
Well, if you light a match in a dark room...
Yeah, but what is our lighting the match?
Well, if we're trying to convince someone, two things. We only have two aspects of our philosophy. Our philosophy is quite simple. Our knowledge is quite simple. One is that we're eternal souls. The other is that Krishna is God, which makes us servants of Krishna. Now, if someone doesn't accept that, refuses to accept, number one, that we're eternal... And even if they accept that, then unless they accept Krishna as God, they're impersonalists. So those who don't accept either that they're eternal or that Krishna is God, they're called materialists or asuras. And those who accept that they're eternal but don't accept Krishna, they're called impersonalists. And those who accept everything, they're called devotees. So we don't waste time with people who don't accept that they're eternal. Or that Krishna is God. And nor do we waste so much time with people who understand that they're God, that they're eternal but don't accept Krishna. Yes.
There is, if I may be permitted to call them like this, a peculiar brand of religious people who, in fact, in their character seem to be very nice and practices.
Depends who you are.
I will name who afterward. I don't want to give the names, but peculiar because in behavior they're very nice. One of them is even mostly vegetarian. They're Christians, and they accept that God is eternal. They do not accept that we are the eternal soul. That there is an eternal spirit soul. They say we die. You are the body. You die. Then he resurrects you. What do we try to convince them that no, you're a soul, or do we just say, okay, so you serve and glorify the name of God and then gradually you will get some purification? And how do we
Well, since they have superior knowledge about God, we generally speaking try to, we can always touch with individual personalities, But since they have the superior knowledge that there is a God, we try to cooperate with them on that level. We don't want it, because if there is a God and we're his servant, that's sufficient. No, we try to cooperate. It's due service. Because there's a lot, not people who don't believe in God. And our main mission is to convince people, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's our main mission. So if someone has that same mission, we cooperate with them, rather than waste our time arguing with them over details. Because they also believe that they're eternal, but they just believe that their body is eternal, that's all. Which means, makes no sense whatsoever. So if they actually become more serious about their practice of devotional, of God consciousness, these things will become more obvious to them. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.